Hello, and welcome to another episode of Candid Christian Convos. Today, we have a conversation between me and one of my very best friends. And this conversation follows on from the last podcast episode on the power of a yes. If you haven't listened to that, I recommend that you do either before you listen to this or after. But that episode was just about the importance of obedience and saying yes to God. In this episode, we're going to be talking about some practical examples in Simbi's life of the way that she has said yes to God, even when it was not easy. I hope this conversation blesses you and encourages you in your faith. Hey guys, today with me, I have Simbi Okelowo, my friend of 20 years. That is so crazy to be saying that. Simbi is many things. I'll let her introduce herself. She and her husband, who is also my friend, Olamide, run and are the owners, founders of Y3C. I'll let her talk about that, but they run this Instagram account that is more or less, in my opinion, a ministry where they help young couples and aspiring couples and single people by just showing very transparently, like, the things that they go through, the ups, the downs, just the ride of following Jesus radically. They're a young couple, hence the name of their account. And they have been so instrumental to my journey because I am also, I guess I can be considered a young couple, depending on who you ask. But they're doing something radical by taking a stand for Jesus in a way that is very countercultural to our society, where people, you know, would rather wait to get married because they want to live their lives and, you know, do all the things on their bucket lists, and that might not necessarily be in alignment with God's will for their lives. So they don't want to fully take the plunge to follow God into what he might be calling them to, because, like, the lure and the appeal of the world is just that it's very appealing. So they give people hope all around the world that this thing called marriage that seems so daunting, that so many people are running away from, is possible. And it is possible to do it in your youth when you are doing it with God. So I'm going to hand over to Simbi now to kind of talk about herself, her ministry. And then we'll get into what we're talking about today.
My good sis. Oh my gosh, that intro. I'm like, whoa. Is this me? Is this us? Is this what we do? Wow. Well, hi, everyone. It is such an honor to be speaking with you all today on my sister's podcast. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation. But honestly, Mo has said it all, I guess, most of it. My name is Simbi. I'm married to an amazing man of God that I love so dearly, Olamide. He is not here with us today, but who knows? He might pop up. Who knows? I'm just happy to be here and share as the Lord leads us. I love Murewa so much. I love her. I love our friendship. And honestly, I've told her that, like, we're just inviting you all into our FaceTime conversations. So brace yourself, because it's going to be real.
One of the things that I love about our friendship, I feel like friendship is such, it doesn't do what we have justice.
Yeah.
We'll go with that, because
you're my sister.
Just got very moist. But what I love about our sisterhood, especially in this season of our lives, is that we got married around the same time.
Yes.
Talk about countercultural. Like, I know from my experience that I had so many people that were like, are you crazy? What do you think you are doing? You're too young. You haven't done this. You haven't achieved this. don't you want to do this more and sleep around more and like experience more with men? And like, you are signing away your life. Like, why would you do that at 20? I was 24 when I got married. But I knew what my calling was, and that was ultimately higher than any desire that I had or any social standing or social norm. And I know the same was for you because we went through that season together. So can you give us like a bit of an overview of, I guess, you and Olamide's story? Because what we're talking about today is the cost of following Jesus. So I want you and Olamide's story to kind of be the backdrop that this is painted on. Let's do that.
Okay, cool. Awesome. All right. So, I mean, our story has so much breadth and length, but I'll just try and speak of like the main points, right? So we met in 2014 as friends, complete total friends. He was in a relationship, I was in a situationship, and yeah.
Love those.
Yeah. Like I think at times once people see us now, they think, okay, like there was some interest then, but I always try and make it so clear that it was platonic. Like he was my bro. I mean, he's still my bro, to be honest, but he was my bro then. So yeah, we met 2014, and by 2016, we got closer as friends. By 2017, I would say I considered him like my top three male close friends, right? So like, I tell him about guys that I was talking to, like, oh, is this a good spec? Is this person good? You know, so it was that type of thing. Come 2017, now the years are becoming so blurry now. 2019 was the year that we began our relationship, which began first with intentional friendship, as I like to call it. So in July of 2019, we linked up after not seeing each other for like, let's say, 2 years at that point. We linked up and the Holy Spirit really began to do a work in my heart first, and open my eyes to see that like we've been in each other's lives for so long. We connect on many levels. We're actually friends. And the Lord was kind of like, this is the one for you. So from July 2019 till August of that year, we were intentional friends. We began dating, courting officially in October of that year. And by October in the next year, the following year, we got married. We were engaged for a month and, and we got married at the courthouse as a young Nigerian couple. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we just celebrated our 1 year anniversary like almost a month ago now. Yep. And we had a little reception. So is that enough to start?
That is more than enough. And it gives us a lot to, like, it's like a good launch pad. So I will talk about some scripture and then kind of segue back into your story. And then we'll go from there. Okay. So when we think about the cost of following Jesus, I think about the fact that I think a lot of people, when they come to Christ, are a bit, or come to faith, come to church for the first time, hear about God and grace, are a bit disillusioned about, they're a bit disillusioned about their responsibility in this partnership with Christ. Because I think we can get so easily swept up in the emotion and the momentum of the initial salvation moment that we might leave out some of the really important details about our part, the part that we play in our relationship with God. And understandably so, to a certain extent, because when somebody's in the world, right, we're both in marketing, Cynthia and I. So we both know that it's not great marketing to tell people who are already not really sold on something that, oh, there's a big price, so like
long suffering.
Don't get it twisted. Yes, there's grace. However, you will suffer. Like,
yes.
Count it all joy when you experience trials of many kinds. Like, just this is the road ahead of you. How many people will be like, yes,
sign me up.
So I think there is some wisdom to like easing people in and talking about grace first. And I think that's why people encourage new believers to start in the New Testament, because you learn about God's grace and how he saves you and loves you in spite of everything before you go back and now see context for like, God was like, this was not always our dynamic with God.
Yeah.
Because we started with the God that was just smiting people for touching the tabernacle when he told them not to touch it. That again is not going to be a great incentive to follow him. But I think it is important that we know sooner rather than later, because I myself have experienced this. I have friends who have experienced this. I think you and I both at some point were like, whoa, like nobody told me.
What is this?
Nobody told me that.
But it's scripture. Like, it's scripture. It's in the word. And it's like, it's unbalanced to preach grace and love and not preach the other part of it, because it's reality. And then we're all shook and shocked.
Shook and shocked. So I think we could even know about these things because obviously we had read them, but there's something about when you are called to pay, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought this applied to like everybody else.
Yeah, like I didn't know you meant it like that, Jesus.
Or like Paul, like people like Paul. I'm not a Paul. Like I can't go to prison. Like I never thought it would apply to me. Yeah. But if we're talking scripture, which we are, there's a couple of scripture that I want to pull out to encourage people that this is in the scripture. So Luke 9:23 says, and this is talking about Jesus, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. A cross is not a pleasant experience, like what we've seen from our Lord and Savior. It's not something that people typically skip towards. So there is an element of suffering there. You pay a price. Luke 14:33 says, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke 10:38 says, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And a pretty like neat parable, I guess, that sums all of this up is in Luke 14:28-30. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to build it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And I think that is a great analogy of our walk with God. Like, you have to count the cost. And there's an article I read by John Piper on Desiring God that he said, he was talking about the cost of following Jesus and counting it. He said, following Jesus is like having a blank contract. When you sign up or when you get the contract, you don't see anything on it. You're just signing. And your signature means anything you ask of me, I'm willing to give to you, because you gave it all for me. You took on my sin. You became my sin so that I wouldn't have to be separated from God anymore. So it's like a blank check. You are saying, any price I'll pay to follow you. But if we don't understand that, Jesus will ask us of things and ask us to do things that feel pricey. They cost us things. They cost us friends. They cost us relationships. They cost us joy sometimes. They cause suffering and pain temporarily.
Yes.
But as long as we're viewing it in light of the sacrifice and the ultimate price that God paid, nothing is too big to give, or nothing should be too big to give him.
Yeah. Oh. And quickly also understanding that from a place of the truth that God loves us, like God's love, the fact that God loves me is what gets me through a lot of stuff. Mm. I'm like, okay, yes, there's long suffering, there's pain, but I always have to take a step back and understand the big picture. Like, it's not just because, oh yeah, because you believe in me, you're just going to experience pain for fun, you know? Yeah. Like, there's context, and at times in our own view and in our own experiences as we're going through it, we can't see the full picture, but mm-hmm. we have to trust like the nature of the God that we serve.
100%. And jumping off of what you said, I think there's also, like, I really want to emphasize that God doesn't just put us through suffering for the sake of it. He's not out here just being like, I'm bored, let's just a bit of suffering. That's not the kind of God he is. But God, we are a chosen people. And a priesthood, I can't remember what verse this is from, but throughout scripture, even if we go to the Old Testament, we see that God desired for his people to be set apart and consecrated for him. So in the Old Testament, that looked like there were a lot of laws about what you could wear, what you could eat, who you could sit with, because God wanted people to see his people and be able to identify, these ones are for me. They are marked, they are set apart, they are chosen, they are not like everybody else. So fast forward to the New Testament, that we are now under the law of grace and no longer under the law, I guess. That hasn't changed. God still wants us to be set apart and consecrated through the blood of Jesus. And that means that we have to represent him well and make choices that everybody else isn't making. So in your life, I know this, but let's talk for the people. Can you think of a moment where you have had to pay a price that people didn't understand, but you knew Jesus was asking this of you? And so because of your love for him, you didn't have any, well, you had a choice, but you chose to obey.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to flip this interview and interview you, because you too, you have. Nah. for sure. So, husband, I know you approve of me saying this. I know. Anyway, so as I said, we got married in October 2020. And at that point, at that point, I had just turned 23. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had just turned 23. My husband had just turned 24. Yeah. And the way we got married was at a courthouse, as I mentioned, right? And for our culture, from our worldview as Nigerians, that isn't typically the route. Like, okay, you do the courthouse bit, but then you also do like a white wedding, like a church wedding, or like all of those things tend to happen at the same time. But okay, yeah, 2020, there was COVID, so people kind of became more comfortable with it, I would say. Mm-hmm. And because we didn't know, like, okay, for us, we had to first think about, like, okay, if we're going to get married at the courthouse, is that enough? Like, what does it mean to be married? Are we actually married? So we had to think about all those questions. And crazy, the video we're filming today is actually on that, on our YouTube channel.
Plugging
the YouTube channel so you can get more context about that, because I won't go into that specifically, but it's Simbi and Olamide on YouTube. So we reached our conclusion that after courthouse, we are married indeed, because we didn't have a plan for like a church wedding or trad or any of that. We reached that conclusion, but I guess I don't know how to say it. We reached that conclusion, but I guess other parties, other people that we were related to did not agree with the fact that we were indeed married and could move in together, could live as married, you know? Mm-hmm. So we had to get into our word, right? And like understand one, what God called us to, which we knew was to be married. We knew it was then, and it had to be then. We also knew and agreed that the courthouse is enough. So now when I guess the pressure, the pressure of older people, like, yeah, older people, culture, all of that comes to you and begins to ask you questions like, why are you guys moving in? Like, are you like, aren't you supposed to wait until this and until this and until that? And we just said no, you know, and that can be taken as like disrespectful, or you aren't listening to your elders, or this or that. And it sounds so simple as I'm saying it, but like, I'm sure someone may have experienced, like, if you have been someone that has typically been compliant, right? Like an older person tells you, oh, don't do this. You just don't do that, right? But now you are in a place where God has said it's okay for you to do this, and there are reasons for it, and it does not go against his word, but people have their own reasons of why you should not do it, and their own reasons aren't based on scripture per se, aren't based on scripture, but based on culture, just what they think, you know. And you have to really stand your ground and like literally fight people that you're closest to and you love, to move on with your life and to be obedient, right? So for us, that cost was, I'd say the cost that we had to pay was one, knowing our word, knowing what God had told us, and standing up. And I really think it was like kind of like a rite of passage almost into marriage and adulthood, that we had to be like, no, we are moving in together because we are in fact married legally. And yeah, so I'll just pause there for now.
Okay. So how that sounds like, I want to say I can imagine, but like I know how difficult that time was. I watched you like really, like you said, a rite of passage, like process and like grow through those pains. But from experience, I know that being in the middle of it, knowing that God called you to it, doesn't make it easy. It doesn't make it easier. You still have real people with real emotions that you're dealing with. You have real emotions. Your partner has real emotions. So was there this is a two-part question. Did you ever get to a point where you were just like, wow, like, is this worth it? I'm in so much pain. This is so hard. Like, why am I doing this? Like, is obeying God really that important to me? And the second part to that question is, what helped you get through those moments? Hebrews 12:2 says that for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross, and the joy was us. So what was your joy that you focused on that helped you endure your cross?
Wow. The first question was, is it worth it? And yes, I questioned that. Like, at a moment, there was a moment I remember so clearly. I think I called you, and I think your sister answered the phone, and I was crying, and I was like, is this marriage worth it? Literally, like a few weeks into it, because of the pressures from outside, we felt like we were being crushed, and like it was terrible. So I was really at a moment where I was like, I don't think I'm ready. Maybe this whole thing was a mistake. Maybe God did not say, you know, but thankfully that thought was very quick. And then the other part of the question was, what helped me get through it? I would really say not going through it alone, you know, because there are times when you're so weak, you for yourself can't even pray. Like, I felt like I don't even want to pray. I don't want to whisper a prayer. So I would ask my husband to pray for me. Like, hey, I'm being honest about how I felt, honestly, because if he did not know how I was, himself, he was going through, like, we were in it together. We were both in the mess, I would say. And there were times that I was weaker, There were times that he was, so we had to pray for each other, you as well, Mo, like calling you in those times. Like, so what really helped me get through it was the support, the people around me, the closest people around me that could help me see what God and remind me of what God had said when my flesh and my mind wanted to forget because I was just emotional.
Speaking of emotions, what were your emotions towards God? Because I know, again, that this is something that God called you to. And I have had moments where I had to pay. God was calling me to something that was costly. And in it, I was like, God, like, but why me? Why this cost? Like, what were your conversations with God like in this season? And was there any resentment? Was it just like skipping to the cross? Did you just skip gladly to be like, yes, God is calling me to this, so yeah, I'm gonna do it because I love Jesus so much that like it's a no-brainer for me?
I wish I could get my notes in that season, but I remember feeling like we've been doing the right thing. We were doing what you told us to do. Mm-hmm. We honored you in our courtship. Mm-hmm. We serve you daily. Like, we love you, Lord. Mm-hmm. You know? So why are we being put in pain?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're doing the right thing. You know, it can feel like, okay, so do I just go out and do the wrong thing? Like, should we have not been, like, should we have not been married and just, like, moved in together on the low and nobody knows about it? It will be easier that way, right? You won't have to deal with all these questions and all of that, but no one will know that you're sleeping together on the low. Just do it, you know? So I was certainly asking those types of questions to God.
You touched on something that is so important. And I think that is the kind of like whiplash, for lack of a better word, we get when we realize, how can I be suffering for doing the right thing? Like, surely the math is not mathing. People do bad things, you get punished for doing bad things. You don't get punished for doing good things. And I think that was a very important realization that I had to come to, that suffering is not always punishment. Because I had a season where I was asking God, like, I don't know how you can be a God of justice and be punishing me or making me go through suffering for doing the right thing. And he told me to go and look at the whole Bible. He was like, what person have I ever called that didn't have some kind of obstacle or struggle or suffering to go through first? Look at Paul, look at Jesus, look at Mary, like, look at Gideon, look at, like, every great hero of faith who was ever called to something bigger than themselves had to go through suffering. So yeah. I think, again, if we are prepared, and I say prepared because I think there's something, the pre in that word means like beforehand, not that when you are inside, you know, but before the obstacle comes, before the suffering comes, when you pre-know that, okay, this thing is coming and that I'm following God, that I'm doing the right thing, doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be, in fact, it doesn't mean I'm going to be exempt. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. Like, there's suffering that is common to all people. And then there's suffering that God uses to refine us and make us look more like him. So I think as Christians, we really need to, it's hard, but lean into the pruning and lean into the refining. There was this, I can't remember, a sermon I think I listened to that they said, we need to see our suffering as, everybody says gold has to go through hot fire to be purified. But beyond that, when gold is, like, God is purifying us as gold so that when he looks at us, he can see his reflection. And that anchored me through some really hard times because I was like, okay, God called me to this hard thing. I said yes. I faced more hardship. But he, like you said, loves me. So any suffering that I'm going through isn't just for the sake of it. It is to an end. It is for a purpose. And I might not see it right now, but one day I will. So another aspect of your life that I have been privy to is in a way, another part of your life that I've been privy to that you have paid a price for choosing to follow Jesus and choosing to be set apart for him. You saved yourself until marriage.
Yeah.
That is becoming an increasingly rare sight concept.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about that price, that choice, and the price that came along with that.
I'm thinking. Well, okay. I want to start off by saying it's a blessing to know God and grow in Christ, because I believe that as we grow more and mature in Christ more, the way we view suffering, right, or pain or hardship is different. And we understand it now from the place of there is a bigger picture. There's more to this, even though I may never see it, I may never understand it, but he is good. So the price of virginity until marriage, I mean, I would say the price or the cost or the harder part was when I was with my husband, right? Like in our courtship, right? Because before then, I didn't, well, it depends on what phase of my life, whether it was the 15-year-old Simbi or the 20-year-old Simbi. Let me just speak of the time where it was hard. In our courtship, when it was COVID time, it still is COVID time. So we spent a lot of time together in the same spaces, in the same rooms. I speak more on that on our Instagram, on our YouTube. I know it can be very controversial, but we spent a lot of time together. So obviously the desire intensified with time as we became emotionally intimate, spiritually intimate, you know, and physical intimacy was like the next thing, right? But it was just very important to be with somebody that was on the same page, like that also understood our why, under respects God's commands and laws enough to say no, even when you're at the close points. At the closest points, you still, the Holy Spirit empowered us truthfully. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it was miraculous because our flesh so many times wanted to eat each other up, truthfully. Mm-hmm. But it was constantly leaning on the Holy Spirit, constantly praying for strength, knowing that it is not by our own power or our own strength. And then thinking of our first night, this is also something that we want to share more about as well. Thinking of our first night, ending up on the other side, being married, where we can freely engage in intercourse and all of that. Our first night was so beautiful because I was thankful that we chose to wait. I was thankful that I chose to wait with him. And I was thankful that that moment was with him, because the moments had some awkward moments, but I felt safe. I felt safe, and I knew I was with someone that respects me, honors me, and loves me. I don't know if I went off track. I think that was a part I probably didn't answer.
Let me review. What was the question? The question was the pain for doing the right thing, and then your choice to be celibate cost you. So I think you did talk about the cost to you, did you?
Yeah, and I'm thinking like, if I'm thinking of cost for that, I feel like it was just more like delayed
gratification
more than cost, because it was hard.
No, but I think there was still a cost, which, so delayed gratification, I agree, mm-hmm. was the cost, but mm-hmm. it would have been so much easier for mm-hmm. you to just be like, we know we're getting married anyway, what mm-hmm. is the point? But you spoke about your why, and you said that you needed Olamide or whoever it was that you were with to mm-hmm. be able to have a strong why as yeah. well, so that it wasn't piggybacking off of your own convictions about what God was calling you to, because we both know obedience can be shared. It's not big deal. It doesn't work like that. So maybe we can go a bit, and this is the last question, I think, more into your why, because I think for everybody listening to this, they have respective situations where God is calling them to something that is countercultural. God mm-hmm. is calling them to something that goes against the grain, that shows, I see it as like a badge that says, I stand for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when we act in a way that isn't in alignment with God's will for us, we take off that badge and we're like, yeah, I don't know him. We have a Judas moment. Mm-hmm. Or Peter, depending on how you look at the situation. But so what was your why? And how can you encourage people listening? Because not everybody's why is going to, everybody's situation is going to be struggling with sexual sin or like struggling with celibacy, or how can you encourage people to find their why, so that when they are paying the price or paying the cost of whatever Jesus is calling them to, they have an anchor?
That's a great question. And I would start with my why only stemmed from me drawing closer to Christ first, and like honestly, not religiously first, but like genuinely, this is my friend, this is my God, you know? So that first, because when that happens first and God has your heart and you truly desire to serve him well, love him well, because he has paid the ultimate price. Ultimate. So nothing that we pay can, you know, but I desire more of Christ because I know what he has done for me and I know that he loves me, right? So I always start there. And then I'm just going to pause because I've lost my train of thought. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to pause. Okay, I remember. And then understanding after the experiences that you've had with Christ, the closeness and all of that, right? Understanding that nothing matches up. Nothing, no sort of compromise that you make is fulfilling. You know, I don't know if you have tasted sin before or had sex before or anything, but like, was it really good? And if so, how long was it good for? You know, like, is it good for eternity? Does it satisfy your soul as much as Christ has? And the answer 10 times out of 10 is no, it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. And keeping, also the truth is, keeping eternity in mind, as humans we can tend to just see our front because we are humans, but keeping eternity, the end, in mind, truthfully, like, I want to spend eternity with my Lord, the Lord that I know intimately, and the one that loves me, you know, like, when you love someone, if you love me, obey my commands, he says, right? So I always start, it all starts and ends for me with love. And that does not mean perfection, as we've said. That it does not mean I do it right all the time, or like I don't sin or I don't mess up. But where do you end up when that happens? Do you get back on your knees? And, you know, so yeah, my why and my encouragement to you would be, draw closer to Christ, understand his nature and his character and how he feels about you. And then out of that, you just really believe and you know that you owe him everything, every mm-hmm. single thing and more. So
yeah, I love that. That was so good. Yeah, I think Simbi has said it all. So to recap, guys, there's always a cost. Like, don't get it twisted. Even if you don't follow Jesus, there's a cost. Like, there is no free meal. That's what they're saying. I think that's what the quote is. So whether you are obeying or disobeying, there is a cost. So I would rather pay the cost of obeying God and know that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There is a cost for disobedience, and that is punishment. But at least I know that if I'm obeying God, like, any price that I'm paying is counted for, and he will reward. And he has already, like Simbi said, done it all. I think it's really important to emphasize what Simbi said about knowing Jesus as your love, your friend. Because if you look at him or compare it to any of your relationships in your life, think about someone that you really, really care about. If they asked you to do something and you knew how much they loved you so much to the point that they died for you, they gave it all for you so that you could have an abundant life, there is nothing that kind of person could ask of you that you wouldn't or shouldn't willingly give, because it's just such a, and it's not a tit for tat, you did this for me, so I'm doing it for you. It's like a free, joyful giving back to the one who you could never repay. You could never repay him for every single thing that he has done for you. So Jesus is always worth it. That is the summary of this episode. Jesus is always worth it. Know your why. And like Jesus, the joy set before you will enable you to endure whatever cross you're facing in your life. I promise. Thank you so much, Simbi. This was so much fun. And I pray that everyone will just be blessed by your story, your testimony, and may God continue to reward you for choosing him even when it's painful.
Amen. Thank you so much.